الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we have begun reading the chapter the author he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى باب الإشارة بالسلاح على وجه اللعب على وجه اللعب. The chapter with regards to pointing a weapon at somebody in the manner of joking, pointing a weapon at somebody while joking or while playing, and the likes. And we have seen the narrations, or some of the narrations that the author has mentioned with regards to this, beginning with the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is mutafiqun alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he forbade that. لا يشيرن أحدكم إلى أخيه بالسلاح فإنه لا يدري لعل الشيطان ينزع في يده فيقع في حفرة من النار. That one of you should never point a weapon at his brother, because he does not know, maybe Shaitan will cause him to slip in his hand, and then he will fall into a pit, in a pit from the hellfire, meaning that the Shaitan could cause him to slip and to accidentally harm his brother and violate that great right and shed his blood. So we've seen a number of these narrations, and likewise the narration about the fact that the angels, they will curse the person so long as he's pointing the steel or the iron, meaning a weapon or something harmful, towards his brother. In the hadith of Muslim that the author he mentioned, من أشار إلى أخيه بحديدة, with some iron or with some steel, and it's something that could be harmful, pointing that at him. فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تَلْعَنُهُ حَتَّى يَرُدَّهَا. That indeed the angels, they will curse him until he stops doing that. وَإِنْ كَانَ أَخَاهُ مِنْ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ. Even if it was his brother, from his father, from his mother. And likewise, we've seen the narration in At-Tirmidhi that the author, he mentioned from the Haditha Jabir رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن تعاطي السيف مسلولا. That the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prohibited the people from passing the sword back and forth from one to the other while it is outside of its case, while it's outside of its sheath. And there was one narration left in this chapter that the author he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala wa fil musnadi an Abi Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and also it has been corrected by al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad from the hadith of Abi Bakr رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مر على قوم يتعاطون سيف مسلولا. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he passed by some people and they're passing around giving each other a sword while it's outside of its sheath, and it's not inside of its case, it's not inside of its casing. فقال لعن الله من فعل هذا أوليس قد نهيت عنه. لعن الله من فعل هذا أوليس قد نهيت عنه. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, may the curse of Allah be upon the one who does this. And he passing this sword around, passing this weapon around in this manner when it's out of its sheath, when it's not cased properly and he safely. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did I not prohibit from this? Is this not something that I have prohibited? ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِذَا سَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ سَيْفَ إِذَا سَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ سَيْفَهُ فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُنَاوِلُهُ أَخَاهُ فَلْيَغْمِدْهُ يُنَاوِلْهُ إِيَّاهُ. And then if one of you opens up his sword, he pulls out his sword from the case. He pulls out his sword from the case to look at it. And then he wants to pass it to his brother. Then let him put it back in the case. Let him put it back in the case, in the غِمْد. فَلْيَغْمِدْهُ. And the غِمْد is the sheath and the case that the sword goes back into. Let him put it back in the غِمْد and then pass it to him. And then pass it to him. After this, the author, he says, Babu al-Asabiyyah. Babu al-Asabiyyah. The chapter of al-Asabiyyah. Al-Asabiyyah is any al-Ta'asub. Al-Ta'asub. To have, to be a fanatic and to have stubborn allegiance to someone for their tribe or for their people or for their country or for their team or for their methodology or for their madhab. And the asabiyyah, in reality, it is al-hamiyyah al-jahiliyyah. It is the fanatical way of the times of a jahiliyyah, that they would have an allegiance for each other based upon worldly affairs and based upon tribalism and the likes like this. And it has come in Sunan Abi Dawood with a chain that is weak, the definition of al-asabiyya. It was said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma al-asabiyya? What is al-asabiyya? So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an tu'ina qawmaka ala al-zulmi. An tu'ina qawmaka ala al-zulm. So this narration here, although the chain is weak, yani this meaning is correct. This is the definition of al-asabiyya, to help your people, to help and to aid your people in oppression. You need to know that they are wrong, and that they have done an injustice, and that they do not deserve the right, and to aid them, and to support them, and to defend them anyways, just because they're from your people. Just because they're from your people. So this is considered al-asabiyya. It would be for a tribe, or be for a country, or even we find in these lands, it'll be for a basketball team, or a football team, or even a soccer team. It will be for a madhab, and the likes like this, where they will follow and defend their people, regardless of whether they're wrong or they're right. Regardless of whether they're wrong or they're right, they'll defend them in this manner. This is called al-asabiyya. And it's referred to in the book, in the sunnah, as al-hamiyya, al-jahiliyya. This is what they were upon in the times of al-jahiliyya, fighting and defending their tribesmen and their relatives and family members, regardless of whether they are wrong or right. Even if they were upon a bad way, they will continue to defend them and fight for them and aid them and help them, even if they're in performing injustice, just because they're from the same tribe and just because they're from the same people. So the author, he says, عن جندب بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه مرفوعة, that it has been narrated from جندب بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من قتل تحت راية عمية, that whoever fights under the banner of blindness, meaning this asabiyya, يدعو عصبية أو ينصر عصبية فقتلته جاهلية, رواه مسلم, that whoever fights under this banner of asabiyya, yani blind following and having this extreme ignorance and stubborn misguidance to help one's friends and family and those who are in agreement with him, even upon oppression, even upon falsehood, to aid them in this manner, or calling to this likewise, or is aiding and supporting this, then if he dies in the death in the manner of al-jahiliyyah, meaning that this is what they were upon in the times of jahiliyyah, defending their relatives and those who agreed with them, regardless of whether they are right or wrong. Regardless of whether they are right or wrong, they would stand up for them and they would defend them and they would fight for them. Even sometimes they would kill for them, even if they were completely in the wrong. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ With no care for justice and for that which is correct and for serving the rights of the people and establishing justice and equality and the likes like this. Just simply looking at who is who and who is with you and who is not with you. Who is with you and who is not with you, wa liyadhu billah. So the author, he says, wa li abi dawood bi sanadin jayyid. Wa li abi dawood bi sanadin jayyidin an ibn mas'ud radiyallahu anhu marfu'a wa mawqufa. Faman nasara qawmuhu ala ghayril haq fa huwa kal ba'ir alladhi ruddiya fi bi'r fa huwa yunza'u bi dhanbihi. So the author, he says, and also it has been collected by Abi Dawood rahimahullah with a chain that is good from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that has been ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise ascribed to Ibn Mas'ud, and likewise ascribed to Ibn Mas'ud. So in this narration it's mentioned, فَمَنْ نَصَرَ قَوْمُهُ عَلَى غَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, that whoever aids and helps and assists his people upon other than the truth, yani upon falsehood or transgression, or upon violating the rights of others, and he aids them and he helps his people upon that way, while he knows that they're upon falsehood, while he knows that they are performing an action of injustice or oppression, or they're transgressing the limits, he helps them anyways because they're from his people. فَهُوَ كَالْبَعِيرِ الَّذِي رُدِّيَ فِي بِئِرِ, then he will be like a camel that has fallen head first into a well. Then he will be like a camel who has fallen head first into a well. فَهُوَ يُنْزَعُ بِذَنَبِهِ, so he will be, and then he will be pulled out. He'll be pulled out by his tail. He'll be pulled out by his tail. And this is the example of this individual, the one who is involved in tribalism
and fanaticism in this manner like this, and he will help the people who agree with him and they have the same ideology with him, regardless of whether they're right or they're wrong. He will defend them and aid them even in oppression and even in injustice. He will not stop he will not stop for any limits, whether if it's from his people or for those who agree with him. He will defend them, and he will fight for them, he will lie for them, he will cheat for them, he will violate the rights for others for them, just simply because it's from his tribe or simply it's from his people. It's called at-ta'asub or al-asabiyya or al-qawmiyya. All of these are similar meanings, blind following and being stubborn, and blind following a particular way and defending that way regardless. Al-hamiyya, al-jahiliyya. So the one who does this, it's been resembled here in this narration that this person, he's like a camel that has fallen head first into a whale. A camel who's fallen head first into a whale, meaning that the only thing that can be seen from him is his backside. The only thing that can be seen from the camel is the only thing that's sticking up and can be seen is his backside. And the people are trying to pull him out by his tail. And it's known that, yani, if that's the only thing that is there for a person to grab onto, it's not going to be very easy to get the camel out in this manner. If he had fallen head first into a whale and nothing is sticking out except for his backside, there's no way possible he can grab onto his tail and pull this camel out in this manner. It's too heavy, it's too large. An indication that a person who gets involved in this manner and his heart gets wrapped up in this affair and his mind gets full of this idea, this ideology of fanaticism, yani, and this reckless blind following and the likes like this, and defending a person's those people who are with him and agree with him, and regardless of what they're upon. This is something that if he falls into that many times, it's hard for him to get out. And plus, he will be looking in this manner similarly as well. It's not a good way, and it's not a good path. So all of this is clear that this is from the major sins. It's not allowed. In the narration in Sahih Muslim, فَقِتْلَتُهُ جَاهِلِيَّةً. If he dies, then he will die in the manner of al-jahiliyyah, in the days of ignorance. Not meaning that it's disbelief, but meaning that it's a major sin in a foul way. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says now, بَابُ مَنْ أَوَى مُحْدِثًا. بَابُ مَنْ أَوَى مُحْدِثًا. The chapter about the one who gave refuge to the muhdith. The one who gave refuge to the muhdith. The muhdith, what is intended here, and Nawawi, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, man ahdatha ma yukhalifu shara min bid'atin aw ma'siyatin aw zulmin. Kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa rad. Yani, so, and Nawawi, he mentioned that the muhdith, yani from the sigat ism fa'il, he is the one who has introduced something into the religion and he has performed an action that is in contradiction to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has performed an action which is in contradiction to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal from innovation and likewise from sin and from actions of oppression and transgression against the people. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whoever introduces into this religion of ours that which is not from it, it will be rejected. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌ فَهُوَ رَدٌ. So the muhdith, yani, in general, he's the one who is performing an action that's in opposition to the legislation. And from the worst of that is to commit shirk, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and to associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal in worship and to devote some of the actions of worship to other than Allah. And likewise, after that, from the worst of the ihdath is to innovate and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to ascribe to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal that which is not from it, and to add to it, to ascribe to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that which he did not come with, and that which he did not perform or call to, or that which he did not allow, or to violate the commandments. Likewise, the commandments of Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially the major sins. This one is considered any falling into al-ihdath fi deen, any committing something major, performing a great crime. And likewise, what is intended here as well is the one who has performed a major crime that requires a type of retribution, and the Muslim authorities, they'll be searching for him in order to serve justice. So all of these ideas are included here. So to give refuge to this person, this is a major sin. To help him and aid him, the one who is upon this way, is a major sin. So the author, he says, عن علي رضي الله عنه أنه قال حدثني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأربع كلمات. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has narrated to me four statements. He has told me about four statements. It's known that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has narrated to Ali and the rest of the companions radiallahu anhum a number of affairs. But what has been mentioned about this narration here is that some people, they came to Ali radiallahu anhum and they said, tell me about something that the Prophet told you secretly that he did not tell anybody else. Tell us what the Prophet gave to you as a secret. Tell us that secret knowledge that you have from the Messenger that he did not inform anybody else, that he hid from the people. And at this time, Ali radiallahu anhu became very angry. He became very angry. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he never gave me any secret that he did not tell the rest of the people. He never told me any secrets that he did not tell or that he concealed from the rest of the people. And then he mentioned this narration. He said, but he did narrate to me this narration here. And so he's clarifying this issue. Yani that he's mentioning, this is when these four words came. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told me this though, these four words here. The first one, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ. May the curse of Allah be upon the one who slaughters for other than Allah. May the curse of Allah be upon those who slaughter for other than Allah. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَيْهِ. And may the curse of Allah be upon the one who curses his parents. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ آوَى مُحْدِثًا. And this is the shahid. And may the curse of Allah be upon the one who gives refuge to the muhdith. وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ غَيَّرَ مَنَارَ الْأَرْضِ. رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. And may the curse of Allah be upon the one who changes the signposts of the land in the earth. And the earth, yani the signs that distinguish the people's property, one from another. So we see that to slaughter for other than Allah, this is shirk akbar, waliyadu billah. This is yani from the worst of all crimes, to slaughter for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. This is major shirk. As for to curse one's parents, then this is a major sin from the kabair, the person he would curse his own parents. And this could happen in two manners. The people of Nahl has mentioned either he would do that directly, cursing his parents and calling them names, waliyadu billah, and calling for the curse of Allah to be on his mother or father, or to call them bad names and to curse them out, and the likes like this, in their face, waliyadu billah. Or it could be not directly, but rather by cursing the parents of another person, until that person will become angry and curse his parents. So now he has the same ruling because he had advanced upon that, and he has cursed and spoken ill about the parents of somebody else until they angered that individual, and he responded in the same manner, and thus his parents were cursed, and he was the reason for that. So this person here is still considered likewise as cursing his parents. So the point though is the next sentence that he mentions here, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ أَوَى مُحْدِثًا. May the curse of Allah be upon the one who gives refuge to the muhdith. And he gives refuge to him and protecting him, meaning whenever the people are after them to serve him his rights and the likes like this, or to take care of important affairs with regards to him, or to refute him and to clarify his falsehood and to stop him from spreading his innovation, or to take him to account for a particular crime that he has committed, that the authorities are after him in order to establish the ruling against him and the likes like this. And it's something that is known that he has the authorities who are after him because of a crime that he has committed. And this particular crime now has been addressed by the authorities for a person to hide him and give him refuge and protect him when the authorities are after him, or the likes like this, or one who is an innovator and the people are trying to clarify to him or do away with him or remove him or prohibit his harm and the likes like this, and somebody will give him refuge and somebody will help him and aid him and the likes like this, then all of this is from the major sins, waliyadu billah. After this, the curse of Allah is upon the one who changes the signposts in the land, and he meaning that the signs that indicate the dividing lines between the property of the people, to change that, and in order to take the property of others unlawful. And this is a major sin. Or likewise, even through the lands, and just to change the direction signs, to mislead the people and to misguide them. All of this is from that which is impermissible and not allowed. After this, the author, he says, Kitab al-Mazalim, the book of al-Mazalim. Al-Mazalim is the plural of Mazlama, is the plural of Mazlama. Mazlamatun wa Mazalim. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the Mazlama, ismun lima ukhidha bi ghayri haq. Ismun lima ukhidha bima ukhidha bi ghayri haq. That the Mazlama is a name for something that is taken without right. So that is taken without right. So this is called the Mazlama. Somebody who had their rights violated. Somebody had taken their rights. Somebody had taken their right from them in their property, or in their wealth, or in their honor and reputation, or in their body and their blood, or in their family, and the likes like this. Somebody violated their rights and took that from them. This is called a Mazlama. And the plural is Mazalim. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-Zulmu Zulumatun Yawm Al-Qiyamah. That zulm, oppression, and acting in a manner of injustice is darknesses. And darkness is darkness. But literally darknesses, any levels of darkness on the day of resurrection. So this issue now is about zulm. But specifically a zulm fima bayn al-ibad. The oppressing that what will happen between the people. A tazalum. That one he will oppress another. Waliyadu billah. And this is something that Allah, he has forbidden and declared to be haram, yani upon himself, and likewise upon his slaves, and likewise upon his slaves. Ya ibadi, inni haramtu al-zulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tazalamu. Allah, he mentioned in the well-known hadith al-Qudsi, that, O my slaves, indeed I have made the oppression impermissible upon myself. Yani decreed this affair, that it's not that he will never oppress. And that Allah, he does not oppress whatsoever, and he has made it likewise impermissible and haram amongst yourselves. So therefore, do not oppress one another. So this is something that is major. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that al-zulm wad'u shay fi ghayri mawdi'ihi ash-shar'i. Wad'u shay fi ghayri mawdi'ihi ash-shar'i. What is intended here is to put something in a place that it does not belong legislatively. And there's a legislative place for this action or this money or this right. There's a legislative place for this right to be established and to be placed, and somebody will put it in a place other than the legislative position where it should go. You need to violate the rights of the people. Of the people. So the author, he says, Babu al-Zulm al-Yateem, the chapter now of oppressing the orphan. Wa qawli Allahi ta'ala, and the statement of Allah the Most High, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. He mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and indeed those who eat the wealth of the orphans in injustice, and in oppression, unrightfully, unlawfully, then they are only eating in their bellies and their stomachs the fire. Then they are only eating the fire in their and their stomachs, and indeed they will enter and burn in the hellfire. And indeed, they will enter and burn in the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is a great threat. This is a great threat for people who oppress the weak. And this is the case. A person who is an orphan, he is someone who his father died before he reached the age of puberty. And so long as he's in this period before the age of puberty, and his father had died in this time, then this is considered an orphan. And many times he will be from those who are weak, and from those who do not have anyone to defend them, and from those who do not have anyone to take care of them, or to help them, and the likes like this, or to provide for them, or to guard them, and for a person to come along and to take advantage of that weakness, and to use it in his best interest, and violate the rights of that young child, and the likes like this. This is a foul way from any of the ways of the wicked and the evil and the low lives, that they will feed off the weak, and they will feed off those people who are not able to defend themselves, and they'll take advantage of him. So the one who eats the wealth in this manner, that eats the wealth of the orphan, it's mentioned eating it because this is a manner many times that it will be used like this, to eat it up. He will eat it up, but regardless of how he spent that wealth. Regardless of how he spent that wealth, if he took their wealth unlawfully, unrightfully, this is the threat that he has, that in the hellfire, the fire will be burning in his stomach. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The fire will be burning in his stomach. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. The author, he says, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا اجْتَنِبُوا السَّبْعَ الْمُبِيقَاتِ. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurayrata رضي الله عنه, which has proceeded in the beginning of this work. We discussed this narration in the beginning of this work with regards to the number of the major sins. اجْتَنِبُوا السَّبْعَ الْمُبِيقَاتِ. Avoid and stay away from the seven major sins, major destructive sins. المُبِيقَاتِ أي المُهْلِكَاتِ. Stay away from the seven destructive sins. In the beginning of the work, we remember the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma when he mentioned that they are the major sins أَقْرَبُ إِلَى سَبْعِينَ مِنْهَا إِلَى سَبْعَ, that the major sins are actually closer to 70 than they are to 7. So the number 7 here is not intended. Rather, this is just to mention these specific numbers and to warn from them specifically. To mention these numbers here are these sins here, and these are dangerous affairs here, and to warn from them specifically. So we see that the major sins, there are a number of them, and some of them are greater than others. From the greatest of them, these affairs here, as-sab' al-mubiqat. قَالُوا وَمَا هِيَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So they said, and what are they, O Messenger of Allah? صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الشرك بالله والسحر وقاتل النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to associate partners with Allah in worship, to make shirk with Allah, and to perform magic, and to kill a soul unlawfully that Allah has decreed to be sacred. To kill a soul that Allah has decreed to be sacred without right. وَأَكْلُ الرِّبَى, and to eat interest, to take the riba. وَأَكْلُ مَالِ الْيَتِيمِ, and this is the shahid, and to eat the wealth of the orphan. Any meaning to take that wealth unlawfully, to take the wealth of the orphan unlawfully. وَتَوَلِّ يَوْمَ الزَّحْفِ, and to turn away, to flee out of fright whenever the enemies they meet. In battle, to turn away and to run out of cowardice and out of fear from death, then this is here a major sin. وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ, and likewise to falsely accuse the chaste. وَقَذْفُ الْمُحْصَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and to falsely accuse the chaste believing women, to falsely accuse them of a fornication. A number of these affairs have proceeded, and the shahid for the author is clear. وَأَكْلُ مَالْ الْيَتِيمِ, and to eat the wealth of the orphan, meaning unlawfully, unrightfully, to take advantage of him. Maybe someone, he will have an orphan under his care, and maybe that orphan had inherited some wealth, and the likes like this. It's not allowed to violate the rights with regards to that, and to eat that unlawfully, and to take that unlawfully, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, to take advantage of that. Allah, he says, وَمَنْ كَانَ غَانِيًا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ, and the one who is wealthy, let him avoid and stay away from his wealth entirely. So the one who is wealthy and he has a wealthy orphan underneath his care, he will not take anything from the orphan, because he himself is wealthy, he needs nothing from that. He will not touch his wealth. وَمَنْ كَانَ غَانِيًا فَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ وَمَنْ كَانَ فَقِيرًا فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and whoever was poor, meaning who has taken guardianship of an orphan who has wealth, and he himself is poor, then he can take from that wealth and that which is good, meaning according to his wages, and that which is in the customs of the people, and for taking care of the likes of him. So if a person, he took on the guardianship of an orphan that had money, it will be allowed for him to take lawfully from that wealth, that which is according to his efforts, if he does not have money himself. If he's not rich or wealthy himself and he's in need, then he can use that for his needs accordingly to the efforts that he is putting forth without violating the rights. After this, the author, he says, Babu Ghasb al-Ardi, the chapter about Ghasb al-Ard. Al-Ghasb is أخذ الحق, أخذ حق الغير يعني بغير حق والاستيلاء عليه يعني بالقوة, that a person, he will take the land of a person يعني violently or forcefully, he will steal it with force. This is what is intended. He will take somebody's land and he will take their property يعني with power, with strength. وليعذ بالله. So the author, he says, عن سعيد بن زيد رضي الله عنه مرفوعا من اقتطع شبرا من الأرض ظلما طوقه الله إياه يوم القيامة من سبع أراضين أخرجاه. The author, he mentioned the narration of Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu from the Ashr Mubashirin. Ahsanta, barakallahu fik. He says radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever takes من اقتطأ يعني من اقتصب, whoever takes unlawfully the شبرا من الأرض ظلما, whoever takes and steals a handspan of someone's earth unrightfully, any in oppression or in a manner of injustice, طوقه الله إياه يوم القيامة من سبع راضين, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala طوقه يعني جعله في عنقه طوقا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make that earth that he had taken unlawfully, he will make that land that he had taken unlawfully, he will place, it will be placed on his neck, it will be wrapped around his neck like a collar, and he will carry it, and he will carry it, it will be seven of them, seven earths, and not just one. So this is a threat of a great punishment, a threat of a great punishment. So if a person, he's threatened with this punishment here, if he took a handspan unlawfully, the handspan of somebody's land unlawfully, and he violated their rights and took their land a handspan unlawfully, then he's threatened with this punishment. How about if he took a yard or a foot? Or how about if he took an acre unlawfully? So this narration here is a clear threat and a reminder and an admonition for the people who are dealing in property. Some people, they work in this field and property selling and the likes like this. And a person, he has to be cautious with regards to this and not violate the rights of the people, giving them less than they deserve or taking more than one deserves, so on and so forth. Rather, this land, it must be divided and it must be distributed properly without any oppression. And there's a great warning and a threat with regards to this. There's a great warning and a threat with regards to this. The author, he says, Babu al-Zulmi fil Abdan. Babu al-Zulmi fil Abdan. The chapter with regards to oppression in the bodies. Oppression in the bodies. And because the oppression that occurs between the people, as has preceded, it'll occur in the bodies, in the blood, physically. He'll physically oppress somebody, waliyadu billah. Or he can oppress them yani in their reputation, in their honor, by lying on them, or cheating on them, or defaming them, or spreading tales about them, and the likes like this, or backbiting them. All of this is considered dhulm. Dhulm in the a'rad. Likewise in the amwal. Likewise in a person's wealth and his property. And his wealth and his property. All of this is considered dhulm. The topic now is about a dhulm fi al-abdan, oppressing somebody, violating his right in his body. An ibn Amr, the author, he says, An ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma marfu'a, that has been narrated by Ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Thalathatun la yakbaru Allahu minhum salatan. Thalathatun la yakbaru Allahu minhum salatan. That there are three individuals that Allah, he will not accept their prayer. That Allah, he will not accept their prayer. Man amma qawman wa hum lahu karihun. A person who led a people in prayer, he is their imam, leading them in prayer, and they do not like him. And he, what is intended here, meaning that they do not like him because of his religion, because of a deficiency in his deen, not because of personal affairs, or not because of the desires of the people, or not because he's steadfast in following the sunnah, of course. This is not included. What is intended, that the one who leads the people in prayer and those who pray behind him do not like him because of the innovation that he calls to, and because of the misguidance that he's upon, or because of his severe negligence in establishing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or because he's known for open sin and the likes like this. Because he's known for open sin, and then he will lead the people in prayer and the likes like this, and the people will dislike him leading them in prayer because of his innovation, because he calls to misguidance and is well known. And he's been advised, and he does not accept the advice, and he continues upon that foul way and the foul creed and the foul belief, and according to that and the likes, where he continues upon his sin, and he opens sin, and he's known for that, and the likes like this, and the people dislike him to lead them in prayer, and he insists. Then this is something that there's a threat with regards to. This narration has some weakness in the chain, but this portion here has been established on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's a threat for the one who leads the people in prayer while they do not like him. As for the one who follows the sunnah, and then maybe the people, for example, they're misguided, or the people, they're following their desires and whims, and they don't like him because he follows the sunnah. This is not considered. Or somebody has a personal agenda with him, it's a personal problem. One or two of them don't like him because he didn't do something for them, or the likes like this, or did not follow them and their advice, or follow their desires or whims, and then something happened between them. All of this is not included or not considered. What is it considered? When the jama'ah, when the people, they don't like him. They don't like him because of his innovation or because of his open and apparent sin. Because of his open and apparent sin. As for if they didn't like him because of his sunnah and establishment of the deen of Allah and being steadfast upon this, then this will not be considered. Rather, he'll be rewarded for that and he'll be patient. And this is the harm that one will face sometimes in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So after this, the author says, وَرَجُلٌ, or excuse me, the narration continues. The narration continues, وَرَجُلٌ أَتَى الصَّلَاةَ دِبَارًا. What dibar and yatiha ba'da and tafutahu. And the second individual here is a man, he comes to the prayer dibaran. It's mentioned here dibar, a dibar meaning he comes to the prayer after it's already finished. Meaning this is what is intended is that a person, he delays the prayer. He delays the prayer until the end of the time. And he intentionally delaying the prayer until the prayer is finished. And then he prays after the time has already finished and gone away. Or he would delay it until the very last moment and the likes like this, intentionally, without any excuse, until the time whenever it's about to go away. So on and so forth. All of this is included here, and Allah knows best. وَرَجُلٌ اَعْتَبَدَ مُحَرَّرًا. And a man who had forced into slavery a free man. And a man who forced into slavery a free man. اَعْتَبَدَ مُحَرَّرًا يَنْ يَتَخَذَ حُرًّا عَبْدًا يَنْ جَعَلَهُ عَبْدًا لَهُ. All of this here is this issue here likewise has proceeded, and that is from the major sins as well. That is from the major sins as well. The author, he says, رواه أبو داود والطبراني بسند جيد. That has been narrated by Abu Dawood and also at Tabarani with a good chain. With a good chain. A number of the people of knowledge mentioned that actually this narration it has weakness in it, and Allah knows best. After this, the author, he says, عن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه مرفوعا. من جرد ظهر مسلم بغير حق لقي الله وهو عليه غضبان. And now the author, he mentions the narration of Abi Umamata رضي الله عنه, that is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, من جرد ظهر مسلم بغير حق. من جرد ظهره, يعني took off his garments in order to beat him. Whoever took off the garments of a Muslim, any off his back, in order to lash him or to beat him, then he will meet Allah Azza wa Jal while he is angry with him. So this narration likewise is weak, but no doubt to strike a Muslim unlawfully is from the major sins, and to hurt him in his body is from the major sins. Some evidences will come any for this in the end of the work bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. After this, the author, he says, Babu al-Zulmi fil amwal. Babu al-Zulmi fil amwal. The chapter with regards to oppression and the wealth. Actions of oppression and injustice with regards to the wealth. Wa fi sahih, yani sahih al-Bukhari. La yantahibu nuhbatan yarfa'u nasu ilayhi fiha absarahum hina yantahibuha wa huwa mu'min. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Sahih al-Bukhari, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that a person, he will not steal something, and he hear what is intended for, he will not strong arm someone. And he to a nuhba, what intihab is to take something, to steal something from somebody, to strong arm them and to take it from them while they're watching, to take it from them directly while they know. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, لا ينتهب نهبة يرفع الناس إليه فيها أبصارهم حين ينتهبها وهو مؤمن. The al-intihab is to strong arm somebody, to take their wealth, to rob them, to rob them and to steal from them, any apparently and blatantly, any in front of them. So there's the issue of al-intihab, and then there's the issue of as-sariqah. As-sariqah is a major sin. السارق وسارقة فاقطعوا أيديهما جزاء من بان كسب نكالا من الله نعم والله عزيز حكيم. The point is that this is a major sin because there is a legal punishment here to steal. سارقة, what does that mean? To steal something from somebody when they're not looking. To steal something from the حرس, whenever something is guarded and it's a place of safekeeping, that somebody would come there and steal that and take that when nobody's looking. This is called sadiqah, and there is the punishment that is well known for that. So here, al-intihab is more severe. Al-intihab is more severe. A person, he doesn't even care. He'll come and take it in front of the people. And he'll come and take it directly in front of the people while they're looking at him. And this is what is mentioned. لَا يَنْتَهِبُ نُهْبَةً يَرْفَعُ النَّاسِ إِلَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ يعني إِلَى النَّاهِبْ يعني the one, المنتهب. يعني they're looking up at him. He's taking it from them directly while they're looking up at him like they can't do anything. يعني helplessly. Helplessly while he's strong-arming them and overpowering them and forcing them and taking their property and taking their right in front of their face. And they're looking up at him like, you know, is he going to show us mercy? Is he going to take it easy on him? And he has no care or no concern. So this is the issue here. The one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the one who robs in this manner like this, while he's robbing, he's not a believer. He's not a believer. So here we have the issue of the faith being negated. Faith being, wahuwa mu'min. He's not, whenever he's doing this, he's not doing this while he's a mu'min. So now we know how to understand the likes of this text. Doesn't mean he's not a Muslim. Doesn't mean he has disbelief, but rather it means that his faith is weak. So again, whenever the iman, al-iman la yunfa illa fi kabir, illa fi shayin kabir, illa fi kabira. The faith is not negated except for a major sin. Illa fi tarki wajibin aw irtikabi muharram. So the faith will never be negated here in the text like this, except to indicate that this person, he has left off an obligation or he has perpetrated a prohibition, meaning to clarify that he has violated the rights of faith and he has committed a major sin. Committed a major sin. And this is the evidence and the proof or the shahid for that. So this is a major sin to steal and to rob from the people and to take their wealth yani violently and forcefully in front of them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the author, he says, after this, بَابُ خِذْلَان الْمَظْلُومِ. بَابُ خِذْلَان الْمَظْلُومِ. The chapter with regards to forsaking the one who is oppressed. I need to forsake him and to abandon him in a time of need. This is called خِذْلَان. This is called خِذْلَان, that a person, he will be oppressed and he will be in a time of need. And there will be somebody who knows about his circumstance and situation and they have the ability to help him. And they have the ability to help him, and they will forsake him. And they will not stand up, and they will not say a word, or they will not raise a hand, and they will not move a finger, and the likes like this. While they know, and they have the ability. And they have the ability, this is called khidlan. This is called khidlan, babu khidlan and madhlum, to forsake and to abandon the one who is oppressed in a time of need. In a time of need. Again, what is intended is the one who knows about this, and he's able to do something, and then he refuses, and he forsakes his brother in this manner. So the author, he says, عن سهل ابن حنيف رضي الله عنه مرفوعا من أذل عنده مسلم فلم ينصره وهو يقدر أن ينصره أذله الله على رؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة رواه أحمد. The author, he mentioned the narration of Sahal ibn Hunayf, that radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that whoever a Muslim is belittled in front of him, a Muslim is belittled in front of him, and he does not help him while he's able to help him, then Allah will belittle him in front of all of the creation on the day of resurrection. It's narrated by Ahmed. It's been mentioned that this narration here, it has some weakness in the chain. But the next chapter, the author, he mentions, will clarify that the meanings here are correct. The meanings here are correct. It's not allowed to forsake a believer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslim akhu al-Muslim, la yadhlimuhu wa la yakhdhuruhu." Wa la yakhdhuruhu until the end of the hadith. And some wordings, wa la yuslimuhu. The author, he'll mention these narrations. The Muslim is the brother of the Muslim. He will not oppress him. He will not oppress him. He must not oppress him. And likewise, he must not forsake him and abandon him. He must not forsake him and abandon him. So this is something that is established. This is something that is established. The author, he says, wa li Abi Dawood an Jabir wa Abi Talha radiyallahu anhuma marfu'a. That likewise, it's been collected by Abi Dawood from the hadith of Jabir and Abi Talha radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ma min imri'in muslimin yakhdhuru imra'an musliman fi mawdi'in tuntahaku fihi hurmatuhu wa yuntaqasu fihi min 'irdhihi illa khadhalahu Allahu ta'ala fi mawdi'in yuhibbu fihi nusratahu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned here that there is no Muslim person who forsakes another Muslim person whenever his rights are being violated, in a position where his rights are being violated, or his honor is being defamed, except that Allah will forsake him. He will leave him and abandon him in a place that he would like to be aided and assisted and helped. وَمَا مِنْ إِمْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ يَنْصُرُ إِمْرَأً مُسْلِمًا فِي مَوْضِعٍ يُنْتَقَصُ فِيهِ مِنْ إِرْضِهِ وَيُنْتَهَكُ فِيهِ مِنْ حُرْمَتِهِ إِلَّا نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوْطِنٍ يُحِبُّ فِيهِ نُصْرَتَهُ. And there is no Muslim person that aids and helps another Muslim person in a place where his honor is being defamed or his rights are being violated, except that Allah would aid him and help him in a place or a situation that he would love to be helped and aided in. And likewise, this narration has weakness in it, but the meanings will be clarified that they are correct in the chapter to come, insha'Allah ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.